Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information that will expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers.
Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering. I am AJ Murray at No Blinky Blinky. How are we doing tonight? No, that's Blinky Blinky. I'm No Blinky Blinky. Andy at Andy Laptef. All things Andy can be found at permitipandyandy.com. Andy, how are you?
Man. I'm better than I've been in a really long time. And not telling anybody why yet. When is this airing?
Andy, you're killing us.
I know.
Isn't it time to let the cat out of the bag?
I don't know. I feel like the whole team should be together. I feel like maybe it's too early. There's some timing stuff that, you know, it's going to be great and I'm really excited. Let's build some suspense. I have a cool announcement.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. There's a cool announcement coming. I think there'll be a lot of happiness for me. And just know that I'm making a big change and I'm very happy about it. So overdue, but.
And it shows. It shows.
Yeah. I'm sorry you guys have had to put up with A-hole Andy for 2 years, but. You know, I apologize. That's what, you know, you'll find out who your friends are, right? People that put up with you at your toughest times, and I'm coming out of some of that. And yeah, you guys are still here. So thank you, friends. I'm good. AJ, how you doing, man? Tell me how you're doing.
Doing well. Doing very well.
Yeah.
I have completed week 3 of the new job. I'm settled in, pretty acclimated. I have a bunch of projects assigned. So, in fact, I'm taking my first work trip tomorrow. I get to go to Maine, work on site with a customer. So, looking forward to that.
I hear Maine's beautiful. You going to like get the hang or just in and out?
I'll hang for like a night.
Yeah.
Yep, awesome. Just on site for one day. Do a quick switch install. So
sweet, man. That's great. That'll be good to get your first one under your belt, the new place, right?
Yep.
It's great. Big switch, little switch, chassis switch.
Little switch. Actually, it's pretty funny. So this customer somehow got their hands on, no shit, one of the last 5 2960Xs that Cisco had. And now they're gone.
Wow. Are they like end of whatever now?
They're end of life, end of sale, no more.
And you
want a layer 2 switch, you're buying a 9200. Yeah. I'm going to do the install on this one.
So, well, can you get support on end of life? There's end of life, end of support, end of, like, there's
so
like,
there's end of sale.
Yeah.
Which means that's the last time that you can sell it or buy one. And then there'll be end of support, which means you won't be able to renew your support on there. And then there'll be like absolute end of life, like not going to touch it anymore.
So you're going to install switches that Cisco no longer will support?
I'm going to install switches that Cisco no longer will sell.
Oh, gotcha.
They will continue to be supported for the next, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
I'd have to look them up. But
awesome.
Yeah.
I always get confused in the different end of whatever terminologies. Good stuff, dude. Don't break spanning tree, all right?
No, I won't. I promise.
I've done it. That's all. I'm just saying, don't break spanning tree. I know,
I've done it too.
I know you all.
And now it's time for some wins. Winning in our Discord channel this week is Dalton B. They moved into their first network position, coming from the service desk in their organization, and they're currently working on their CCA NA. Congratulations, Dalton. UMUTC24 landed an IT support position. Congratulations. Carlos RM passed the JNCIA Junos. Tiggerbits passed the JNCDA. Congratulations, Tiggerbits. Nambo Meng passed the DevNet Associate. Hubestank Pilgrim passed two exams this week, the NRC and the CISSP. Congratulations. RFG Labs passed the CCNA. And Smilin' Chris, our very own Smilin' Chris, was promoted to Networking and InfoSec Manager. Congratulations, Chris. Ron N. took on a new network engineer position and starts Monday. Congratulations, Ron N. Merpup 569 passed the Encore. Big win there. Congratulations, Merpup. Welcome and thank you to new Patreons, Ryan, Eddie Kavanaugh, Adam Smith, A New Identity, and Yitzek. Thank you so much for your support of what we do here on the Art of Network Engineering podcast. And thank you to all of our fans for listening and downloading and liking our content, following us on all of our social platforms. That really helps an awful lot. If you're interested in joining the Patreon program, you can go to patreon.com/artofneteng. And I want to personally wish all of our listeners a very happy and safe holiday season. Thank you so much for listening to the Art of Network Engineering podcast. Now back to the show. I am very excited to introduce our guest tonight. If you have spent any time on Twitter or in our Discord, you are completely familiar and should know the name David Alicia. David, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hello, everybody. Happy to be here.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. If you're not following David, if you haven't talked to him, then you will be happy to know that David has recently changed jobs. And so, David, where do you work these days?
I am currently working at a small organization. I am currently at Cisco.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome. So I'm sure, like many a network engineer in our field, landing at a large OEM such as Cisco is like the dream, right?
It's been a journey. I've been trying to get to Cisco for a while now. So doors just never opened in the past, and things right. worked out, and it was the right time. That's one thing I believe, that if something's not working out, it's just not the right time. It's going to happen. It'll happen in the future.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think we were talking about this earlier. Somebody commented something in the Failure Plaques channel, right? I think you would comment on it too, but like when you get the no, that means new opportunity. So sometimes it's just about timing, right? Like if the world's telling you no, it's not the right time. Like something better is coming your way. Don't get defeated when you get the no. And just like you said, you had gotten the no a few times from Cisco before, but this time they said yes, and here you are.
And it's natural. I mean, it's natural to, if you get rejected, it's natural. Like, well, what's wrong with me? It's just not the right time. You go back, you get better, you continue improving. And then from there, doors continue to open.
Awesome. And so what do you do for Cisco?
So I'm a systems architect in enterprise near Chicago. I have three customers that I work with. I am 3 weeks in, so I am learning as much as I can about them, and as well as furiously bookmarking all the links that people are sending me every day. There is a lot to learn. Coming from an organization where we had, 3,000, 3,500 employees to an organization like Cisco, it's a different animal. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of people to figure out who does what. Sure. So I do appreciate the people that have reached out to me from Twitter, though. There's people at Cisco that I follow them, and they follow me, and they've reached out on WebEx like, hey, you made it. So I appreciate that. It's everybody's been very cool.
So you said awesome. System and architect, right? Sorry, Jay.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's the SA role, right? You also hear it like SE. So can you explain to people, because I've recently learned about that role and I'm still not sure I understand what an SA does.
So I am a partner to the customer, right? If the customer has any technical concerns, if the customer wants more information about different product lines, if the customer needs some advice, if the customer needs some assistance road mapping, anything that has to do with Cisco and technology, I'm there to assist them. I'm there to be, the hands and feet is needed, right? Of course, there's other partners that they work with, but from the Cisco side, I am the one that's given the advice. along with the account manager.
Now, so it sounds a little bit like sales, but it's not a sales role, right?
It is still under the sales umbrella. So that's definitely coming from operations going into sales. This is my first sales role. Okay. It's a different, it's a different world. So there's a lot to learn and I'm diving head first into it.
Pre-sales, right? Is that what they would consider that?
Pretty much. I mean, even, even after the fact, I still support the customer through the entire process.
Right. So I'm in an organization and you're assigned to my account and I'm like, hey, we got to upgrade some switches and we're not exactly sure what we want to do. Maybe we go to Spine Leaf now. We got to talk to David and you can direct us through.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Here's what's going on. Let's talk about your needs. Yep. Right. Here's our product lines. Exactly.
How does it fit into your ecosystem? Is there anything better that we can do? The goal really is that everything's working together, right? We don't want something to be siloed. We want everything to work together for your benefit.
Awesome.
Sweet. So what I've been, under the impression of and based on being a customer myself and now working on the partner side is that kind of relationship between your sales account manager and then the SA, it's kind of like almost like CFO, CIO kind of like advisory role to the business. Is that kind of an accurate-ish statement?
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm trying to meet as many people as I can on the customer side. I mean, I'm sending notes and like, hey, I'm here. I want you to know, hey, I exist. I wasn't here before. Reach out to me. I want to have a relationship with you. So I just want to be there for you. What I'm working on now. But yeah, it's really that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you haven't always been at Cisco and you haven't always been into IT or network engineering. So what kind of, originally, oh, so long ago, or maybe not so so long ago, got your interest, got you into IT?
So pretty much it was back at high school. One of the classes that was offered back in high school, and I'm 35 years old right now. I might not look it, but it's because I shaved my head. but yeah, back then in high school, there was Cisco Networking Academy, so that sounded nice. Interesting.
You had a Cisco Networking Academy. I don't think we've heard that too much. I think we've heard like network academies at like colleges and stuff, but I don't think we've heard it too much at high school. So that's really cool.
So quick.
We had it in high school.
Quick point. When I was in high school, I don't think we had internet at the high school. Moving on.
We had a couple computers.
We had a computer lab, but I'm pretty sure there's no internet. I'm just level setting us.
Did you have a whiteboard, or was it still all chalkboards?
it was the stone tablets, I think.
The overhead projectors with like the really big light bulbs on.
I'm sorry, ignore my dumb jokes, David. So you're in high school and you heard about Cisco Networking Academy. You're like, huh, this is maybe a thing.
That was one of the choices, and I believe it was tied to as well as getting college credit. So from there on, I think every Tuesday and Thursday I was able to go to the university to take a class at the university, and I would get college credit beforehand. So my mom pushed me to those programs. It's like, do as much as you can. My parents' education was really almost non-existent. I mean, my mom for years worked, housekeeping, and my dad, I remember when I was young, going around picking up scraps of metal and selling them at different places. I mean, that was really the history. So they wanted me to do even better, right? So any program that opened up, go do it. It's going to be good for you. Don't do this. Don't pick up scraps like me. That's what my dad would say. You can do so much more. So I was like, hey, I'll take that advice. I'm a big believer in education. So Cisco Academy and in high school was really a door that opened up for technology, right? It wasn't exactly, networks interested me at the time, but it wasn't what I dived into when I actually went to college.
Okay, so you didn't leave high school with your CCNA then?
No. I know there's some people out there that are. That's great for them, but I did not. My plan actually was to do programming. So when I went to college, I was looking at, web design. I was looking at programming, and that's really what my bachelor's was, computer information systems, was it database administration, My goal was to do DBA as well as do some web design on the side, things like that. Yeah. And it just never materialized.
So quick question. No kidding. You went through the Cisco Network Academy and you did not get your CCNA?
No, what they did in high school actually is instead of the CCNA, they had us take the A+.
Oh.
Which was interesting. So I remember that because I failed.
Okay.
I didn't pass the A+.
So but it kind of makes sense, right? Like that's the hardware cert and that would be a good place to start, right? In your journey.
So yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we would sit in the classes and, you know, our professor, I remember we would always call him Coach Culbertson. He's somewhere on LinkedIn, I'm sure. Listening, right? He'll probably listen to this, I'm sure. But yeah, we would always call him Coach. He was a great teacher, and that's one of the things that really continued to spark that interest in a bunch of the students, is because he had such a good personality that he could bring us into the lesson. And it's like, look at this is how the internet works. You know, this is wow, this is great. This is how I can get to MySpace.
Oh my god! Did that grab your attention at the time? Like, oh my god, this is magical! Like, this is how stuff works.
I mean, yeah. This is how communication works. You know, so that was interesting, but it wasn't interesting enough that when I went to college, I was like, oh, I want to do this for the rest of my life. Right. And I still had that interest in design and creating websites and doing programming and sure. learning that side of the house.
So, quick question before we. You struck a chord when you talked about your parents and how, you know, I don't want to say they struggled, right? But like you said, they didn't have much of an education and they worked hard jobs. That rings true, you know, for me to a certain extent. So do you feel, did that have any impact or did that mold kind of what you wanted for your life? Like, you know, I have like memories, right? Of like certain portions of my life where like, I wasn't wearing the nice clothes the other kids were. Like, you know, you have these experiences sometimes, you know, as a child that like stick with you. And I remember thinking, you know, like someday I want something different, right? Like I don't want my kids to feel like I feel right now, you know? And I know that that's kind of like heavy and crazy, but you just hit me like, how was it growing up, right? With like parents that weren't educated and really had to work hard. Like, did that have an impact on you and what you wanted?
It did. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, really, it was, I mean, to me, it was what's going to be my legacy, right? You know, my parents, you know, they dived and did everything that they needed to do. You know, they poured into me as much as they could, right? So I want to do the same thing for my kids, right? Yeah. So what's going to put me in a place where I can pour as much into my kids as I can? You know, you have to get better. So that's definitely something that I was looking for. Even when I was young, I think I had, you know, the soul of an old man. I mean, that's just how it was. I even got married early. You know, so my wife was 19 and, you know, I was 22,
yeah.
22, 23. So we got married early. Nice. We're just old. You know, we look young. We're old people mentally. So.
I love that, man. And how did you computer science? I'm jealous of people like you, right? Because I failed out of computer science. So did you always know that's something you wanted? Was that a natural progression for you? Did somebody recommend it to you?
I think we went through, I remember sitting down and then looking at all the programs and that was the program that really sparked the most interest. It's like, oh wow, I can, you know, learn programming and create something for myself. At the time, I remember, I think Xbox had XNA, which was like the Microsoft developer for Xbox and stuff like that. So that interested me a bit. So I was buying XNA books. I think I still have one or two behind me.
So I'm sorry, is that programming language like under the hood of for Xbox?
For Xbox. Yeah. Okay. To create games, it was XNA pretty much was the whole thing. But it used C#. So XNA utilized C#. XNA, I guess, was just the architecture of the program. But, That was interesting to me, creating something from scratch, you know, creating a game, creating a site, creating something that I could call my own. That sparked an interest. So I went in that direction and somehow I ended up in database administration and I in SQL and Oracle and all this. I don't know how, but that's the track that I went into. But it still involved me learning C#, learning Java, which I now have completely forgotten. It's been so long and I haven't used it, you know, use it or lose it. But at one point, I was able to get a job. Well, in the beginning, when I first started college, I got a job at the help desk, which was extremely beneficial. I mean, if you're starting out and you're starting for a place, you know, to look and learn, a help desk, a service desk is definitely a place that I'd recommend.
You got that in college, the help desk spot?
Yep.
Now, was that an internship through the program?
Student worker. It was a student worker spot. So I worked for the help desk. I picked up the phone, professors and students yelling at me, you know, complaining, tickets, all this stuff. I'd go around running around imaging computers, just formatting stuff. I mean, there was just a ton of stuff that we had to do. I remember we had a DBA at the campus, and for some reason, she had me running Oracle scripts, like to create student accounts or something. I remember that. So that was pretty cool. Hmm. There was a bunch of stuff. And in the beginning, the campus wasn't centralized to all the other universities. So we had, their own exchange, their own everything. So I remember creating email accounts when I was a student worker. I mean, there was a ton of stuff I did. So it was a little bit of everything. And that kind of, that helped me piece together, you know, all these different areas in IT and how they work together.
Hmm.
Very cool.
Getting that experience, man,
was huge.
Yeah, that's amazing. My experience in college, I couldn't get arrested when I graduated because I didn't do any internships. You know, I was working full time. You know, waiting tables, paying my rent and stuff. And my buddies who did internships, they all had multiple offers when they got out. And I'm interviewing, and they're like, where have you worked? What have you done? And so anytime I hear or somebody's in college, or like, hey, what should I do? Like, get experience if you can. Like, there's internships, there's student work, you're getting hands on, not that turned into a job for you at graduation. Maybe it did, but you have experience, which is what everybody wants, right? When you get out, like, what do you know? What have you done?
And I think the biggest part is, getting to know people, because in the university, I got to know the other teams, the help desk managers, the way there was a network team on site. So I got to know them. I got to have a relationship with them, build that relationship up, even as a student worker. So, I mean, one of the things that I always tell people is, work hard, you get noticed. Yeah, right. We were talking about that, before the show. It's like, work hard, you get noticed. 99% of the time, if you work hard, if you put in the work, somebody's going to look at you and be like, wow, this person busts their butt. They deserve to move up, or they deserve something, right? 99% of the time, there's always that 1% that's like, it doesn't work out. But 99% of the time, somebody will notice you. So that's really what happened. And, there was a full-time desktop support with the university that opened up, to drive around between the satellite locations. And they asked me if I was interested in it. It wasn't the greatest pay in the world, but it was like, I'll take it, because there was some benefits behind it. They would help pay for some of the schooling as well. Wow. So it was like, yes, this is great. So there was some good benefits behind it.
Was that full-time, David?
That was full time.
And you were still in school, right?
I was still in school. So I was still going for my bachelor's.
So did you have to scale back on the amount of classes, or did you do full time school and full time work?
By the time I got the full time desktop support, I was pretty much almost done.
Okay.
So I did that for about a year. And by that time, I had graduated. After desktop support with the university, another spot with the university opened up, which was a lab manager position, which was being a manager, a supervisor to the student workers. Hmm. So I started managing the student workers, picking the schedules, helping them out with escalations, things like that. And it was like, hey, we were working with this guy. Now he's the boss. So it was pretty cool. I got along with everybody. I like everybody, I think it was pretty good. And it helped me. It turned me into a little bit of a teacher, because at that point, I was showing the student workers, well, this is how you do things. This is what's the best way to, image this PC, or, careful with that professor, But I think it helped out a lot, and doors continued to open after that within the university.
Wow.
Very cool. So as a student worker, was that like a paid position, or was it just the work experience that you got?
There was a paycheck. I wouldn't say it was a lot. It was the government was paying something, I know, through the school, but there was a paycheck, and I was able to take my girlfriend at the time on a date to Chili's or something somewhere. It worked out.
Nice.
It was cool. You know, I got the bills paid, but you know, my parents, I was still living with my parents and they were helping me out as much as they could. You know, that's one thing that I'll say that, you know, throughout my, you know, time in high school and the university, you know, they did everything they could to make sure I was successful. So that's one thing that I do say, and I want to thank my parents for everything they did, because obviously, you know, if they hadn't pushed me as much as they did, if they hadn't helped me out, you know, by talking to me and even monetarily, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Right. Right. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
So you're a supervisor at the university. How long did you work for the university?
I was at the campus in Chicago. I was there, I mean, from 2005 through 2009 in various positions. Eventually I was managing the help desk. I was managing some of the other lab managers who managed the student workers. And these were full-time, mm-hmm. you know, adults that I was managing at that point. So, I mean, I continued to do my thing. I continued to work and learn and teach pretty much as I could. And eventually, you know, I was in a position where I was able to help at the campus. I was able to help the network team. So there was a network team that took care of all of the campuses around the US. They would install the switches. They would do, you know, all the work. They would change VLANs. They would do everything. So they placed a little bit of trust in me and they said, hey, you know, you're at the campus. We know you. You go install this, right? You help us out. So that is really what opened the door into network engineering, right? So that sparked the interest. I was like, this is pretty cool stuff, right? This is, you know, the roots of communication. This is where it's at, in the closet. So they continue to put some trust in me and to give me things to do, upgrade this or help somebody out with, you know, taking a blade out of the 6500 and swapping it out. So those opportunities continue to pile on. You know, they probably didn't want to do the cable work, so I ended up doing all the cable work. I'm sure there was a little bit of that, but I enjoyed it. I mean, this was like, this is great. So there came a time where corporate needed somebody to help out with physical security. They had a huge physical security project to switch everybody over to Honeywell, I believe. So they, you know, I was voluntold. I was like, they're like, hey, you're perfect for this. This is a great project that you can assist with. We're going to take you out of your help desk manager role and you're going to come to corporate and help us out with this. So I did that for 6 months. And eventually it was like, you know, my boss at the time was like, well, you know, we're filling up your position because you're probably going to stay at corporate. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do physical security, you know, for the rest of my life. I want to do something else. So at that point, I felt sort of homeless. Like, where am I going to go? Right. So that's when I started just looking outside for something else. And the network team heard that I was looking, and one of the engineers that I had a good relationship with, they're like, hey, we have a spot open. Are you interested? I'm like, yeah, I'll go. You know, that's definitely something I was interested in. And, you know, I knew them. And honestly, the interview was like, hey, you know, do you want to be a network engineer? Yes. You're hired. That's really what it was. Because
wait a minute. No technical interview? Yeah. Come on, man.
No, there was nothing. They already, you know, the network engineer that was working with me at the campus that was helping me out, he was the one teaching me everything. So he knew technically, you know, where I was. He knew everything. He was the one that taught me everything.
This is still at university?
Yeah, this was still at the university. I was at the corporate side, though.
So you had built a reputation. Was out of corporate. Yeah, they knew you. They knew your work. You're like 17 managing people.
Pretty much. I was young. I was 19, 20 managing people. I mean, it was interesting. And at the same time, I was trying to soak up as much as I could and learn.
I got a resentment that you didn't have a technical interview for your network engineering.
I did not.
Only because the pain that I had to endure for mine, they mopped the floor with me and made me cry and then gave me a job. You're just like, yeah, give me the job, man.
My second interview, you know, with the second place was definitely a little bit more technical. But yeah, it was like, hey, do you want to be a network engineer? Yes. You're hired. That's all it was.
So networking and for I university? Because, is that
yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You believe it was because why? So,
because I spent that time building that relationship, right? They knew me. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that taught me. So, you know, they knew how I was. They knew I was responsible. I was a hard worker. That's why I always say, work hard, get noticed, right? Work hard, get mm-hmm. noticed. It's going to happen. You know, sooner or later, it's going to happen. Have some patience. So I spent, as a network engineer there for corporate, I spent 5 years.
5 years. Okay. So I'm trying to keep track here. So this was like 2013, 2014.
I started as a network engineer in 2011. So 2011 through 2016.
Right.
I was
at the university. That's right. You did a couple of years of the security thing, maybe?
I did. It was about 6 months or so. It was the beginning of 2011 when I did the physical security project. And then at the end of 2011 is when I was the position opened up for network engineering.
Okay. Got it. You were doing the network engineer thing for corporate, did you, you know, work primarily with Cisco? Did you decide to go after your CCNA?
So it was a mixed environment. It was a mix of Cisco and Juniper in the data center.
Okay.
So it's a mix of both. So I had to learn both.
As it Juniper should be. Was, yeah.
So, it was definitely, you know,
I was used to creating VLAN.
I was used to Cisco already from the campus, you know, putting in VLANs and different things on switches with Cisco. And it was like, when I get to the data center and there's Juniper, I'm like, what is this stuff? But it was sort of familiar because Juniper had that programming feel to it. So it was interesting. But I wasn't even thinking about certifications at that time. That wasn't something that anybody had taught me. That wasn't something that anybody had spoken to me about. There was a person in the team that was working on their CCIE and they were going through their second attempt. And pretty much he spent some time talking to me and about the importance of certifications and how you can learn a lot from certifications. And that sparked the interest. And I was like, oh, maybe I should take a look at a certification that I can, I can jump into or learn. That's when I went for the CCNA. It took somebody to sit down with me and explain to me, like, certifications can help you. You know, a certification, even though you might not use it for a particular job, you'll learn a lot out of the process.
Now, was this the CCIE guy? Is that who you were talking to?
Yeah, this was the CCIE. Yep.
And it's one of those things that you're just sitting down, getting to know him. What's up? I'm studying for this thing. What is that? And then he kind of started to describe the value of certifications. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a breath of fresh air. Cause I mean, honestly, in a lot of places that, in the past that I've seen, there's people that are there, they're working, they bust their butt, but they're comfortable, right? So they don't want to get better. They're good at where they're at. They want to stay there. They're happy, right? And then there's people that want to go that extra step up, right? They want to do something harder. They want to learn something new, right? Mm-hmm. So this person was really had that mentality, and he kept pushing me, and he sparked that interest. Mm-hmm. So that really is why I started pursuing certifications and continue to dive deeper into network engineering.
How did that CCNA studying go? Was it easy for you at this point because you had experience and you're a bright guy in computer science, or was it a struggle?
It helped. I think, I still struggled through some of the topics I struggled through today, like spanning tree. Spanning tree sometimes is like, oh, this is terrible. But, this is something that I need to get better at. But it helped that, I went straight to eBay. I started purchasing equipment. So in the beginning, I bought an Avacent console server. Yes. I bought a bunch of stuff. And I had it wasn't a rack. It was just like a little, table, and I just tossed the equipment on top. I was consoling into stuff. I mean, that's how I learned. And this was like in the infancy of GNS3. So as soon as I discovered GNS3, though, that's when I the equipment started picking up a couple spider webs. So that's when I started diving more into, GNS3. But in the beginning, it was all, especially for my CCNA studies, it was all hardware.
Let's please pause for a moment. So you worked on physical hardware in your lab for studies, and then you pivoted to emulation, virtualization. I don't know what the right term is, but do you feel, I'm going to ask AJ, because what was the value in your physical lab as a, you know, did you learn things in your physical lab that you couldn't have learned in GNS? So new person coming to you, I'm studying for my CCNA. Should I build a physical lab or should I just go, you know, the virtual route? Because you have experience in both, what do you think?
I'm a believer of doing both. I mean, I still have, you know, a lab here, physical gear. You know, you have to touch stuff. You know, that helps. You know, plugging in a cable. There's a certain satisfaction you get of plugging in a cable that you cannot get out of, you know, GNS3, right, out of EVE, out of CML. There's something different about it. You know, if I could buy a whole rack of equipment and a chassis and stuff like that and put it here and not have to pay for the electricity, that would be great. Yeah. But because I'm not going that route, you know, that's when I have to rely on the virtual a bit more to do some of the bigger stuff.
I don't know if it's still true, but I remember in the CCNA, and it's definitely been true in my experience in prod, I forget, it's like 65 or 70% of network issues are at the physical layer. So for me, all that stuff I learned with like bad ports, bad cables, bad pinouts, bad cards, you know, you name it. It was supposed to be a rollover from the Avicen. It was a crossover. Like there's so many physical problems that you run into. I had T1 DSU CSU cards for additional ports and they had a special pinout, like just so many things. You know, you drag a couple pretend routers up, you drag a couple pretend cables in GNS or EVE and you're done. If you're brand new and you've never touched gear, you know, for me, if 75% of the, you know, 70% of the issues are physical, I think it's valuable to get, you know, some, like you say, get some experience, you know, with physical. Yes. If you got a spanning tree loop up and everything's down, it's nice to see, oh, that's what all the amber lights mean to my switches. You know what I mean?
That's true.
GNS won't teach you that. So anyway, I'm off my soapbox, but you said physical and I get nuts.
It's true. I mean, there's stuff. I mean, I remember a big portion of tickets I've ran into, especially in manufacturing, a lot of times those issues were resolved by just swapping out a cable. Right. I mean, you know, we've always had the ticket of like, well, this phone is showing some sort of network error on the phone. This access point no longer connects. And I was like, did you try swapping out the cable? No. As soon as the cable swapped out, it works. Like, perfect. You know, that cable's probably been sitting there for, you know, 10 years. You know, some rats are chewing on it or something. You know, swap it out. So, and it ends up fixing the problem. So a lot of what happens out there, you know, for somebody coming in fresh is physical. You know, so that is important. That's key. Learn the physical.
So you build your lab.
Absolutely.
And, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're just starting out, like get a physical lab. When you have like a certain foundation, you can get a virtual lab. Like I don't think a lot of people realize this, but you can actually make the two talk to each other. Mm-hmm. Like that is possible. And there's certain economies of scale that you can get out of a virtual lab that, you know, you just can't really do affordably on a physical lab, right? Like if you want to do larger topologies and really do some fun stuff, especially if you're going for the NP level, that's a lot easier to do with a virtual environment than it is with a physical environment. You know, like I've got four routers and four switches, but there's only so much I can do with four routers and four switches, but there's a lot I can do with 20 virtual routers that, you know, I definitely can't do in a physical environment.
And you learn so much, you know, you're building that virtual environment on a server usually. So like me, I had to learn ESXi, I had to learn VMware, I had to learn about virtualization and, you know, do I want a hyperthread or not? And how do you allocate the resources and power management? And even just that, building your emulated environment, you know, in ESXi as an example, just so much to learn there. I mean, you could spin it up in the cloud and be done with it. And that's cool too, you know, but I learned a lot by having a physical server, even though the network thing was emulated.
And the important part is do something, right? Grab some gear, do something virtual, but that's a huge way to learn. I mean, if you want to get better, if you want to learn, you have to practice, right? I mean, if you didn't jump on that bike, you wouldn't know how to ride that bike, right? You can't just look at a bike and be like, I know how to ride that bike. And you've never been on a bike before. Like you have to hold things. You have to touch things. Yeah. That's the way you get better.
Yep. I like that. You got to do something. Hey, A1 fans, AJ here for NetAlly. You ever heard of NetAlly? Sure you have. They came from the same group of engineers that brought us network tools from Fluke Networks, NetScout, and now they're NetAlly. They know networking. I'm a network engineer for a partner, and when I go to customers and see they use NetAlly, I know it's going to be so much easier to troubleshoot issues we might run into. The name may have changed to NetAlly, but the way they build tools hasn't changed a bit. They ask, what would a network engineer want to help make their job faster and easier? And then they go build it, just like this Etherscope NXG. NetAlly is here to help. NetAlly, simplicity, visibility, collaboration. Visit netally.com today. Now back to the show. All right. So I think you said manufacturing in there. So at some point then you left the college, the corporate side of the university, and you landed in manufacturing, it sounds like. Was that the next step?
Yep. Yeah. So towards the end of 2016, I wanted a bit more, right? So, the opportunities weren't happening locally. So I decided to look out. And pretty much I found a place in manufacturing that, I was doing everything, right? We had another engineer, myself and my manager, and the three of us would handle the worldwide networks. It was about 40 sites, between sales offices and full plants and warehouses. So that gave me a huge opportunity to learn even more. I learned a lot from the team. And pretty much, we did a little bit of everything. Back at the university, it was very siloed, where all I would do is route switch and a couple of firewalls. That was it. There was a voice team. There was a security team. There was a team for that, a team for this. So that's all I did was route switch and a little bit of firewall. So, that was my mentality. So when I got to manufacturing, it wasn't just route switch, a little bit of firewall. It was route switch, collab, security, everything. Wow. Right. So we did everything, and it was nice because that was definitely drinking from the fire hose, because I had to learn all these things that I had no idea about. Right. I had to learn about ICE. I had to learn about stopwatch. I had to learn everything. Collab. I mean, at the campus, all I would do was, deploy a phone. And that's all. That was my experience within Call Manager. But I had to learn. I was taught, what a PRI is. How does this connect to the router? What does it do? How do you configure a Call Manager? So all these different things I had to learn, because I had to support these sites. I had to troubleshoot these sites. There wasn't anybody else besides the three of us. So that was huge. And I learned a lot. And I learned a lot because I saw from the ground up, especially when we had to open up a new site, how things come together, right? Mm-hmm. How all these networks come together, building the phones and building the voice environment for a site, putting in the security, route switch, a little bit of everything, wireless. So I learned a lot. It was, from 2016 and onward, it was just information. And during that time, I pursued my CCMP, CCMP as well back then, route switch and T-shoot. That was something that continued to push me forward. When I look at a certification, certifications are great, but that to me is a big vehicle in learning, right? I have the book, I have all the material. This is knowledge that I'm gaining, so it's great that I pass a certification test, but let's say I don't, I still learned a lot of information that I can use in my environment.
Still have the knowledge.
Yep.
I think it's the best part of certification. It's just a learning plan.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Here's all the stuff that you need to learn for this thing. I wanted to ask you, so where did you look for your job? Where do you look? Are you a LinkedIn guy? Like, you're at the university. You want to look around. You find the manufacturing. Where does one look?
Yes. So up to that point, once I went to college, I was a student worker. And doors continued to open from there. I wasn't actively looking, right? Except when I was, at that weird period where I needed a job when I was in physical security. So I was just, looking at, different opportunities online, anything that opened up. But, it was still within the university, right? Even the network engineering portion there, it was still within the university. So going to manufacturing, that was really the second, I would say the second company that I've worked for at that time. So I went to a recruiter and I was like, hey, help me out. This is my skill set. What can you do for me? What can we do, right? Where can I go? So the recruiter helped me out. And that's when, there was a couple different places, and I was like, well, I don't want to go to downtown, all the time. And it was the middle of winter. I'm like, this is too cold. I'm not going out there right now. I interviewed in manufacturing and it was a good opportunity, so that opened up through a recruiter.
Where did you find the recruiter?
Now I'm trying to think, but it was, it was LinkedIn though. It started off in LinkedIn. Yeah. Right. So LinkedIn, recruiter, and then from there.
Awesome.
Yep. Very cool. Very cool. So, but if you could kind of like summarize the value of, you know, having a recruiter, right? Like if you didn't have the recruiter, you'd have to go try to find a job on your own. And the recruiter inherently has a number of job listings available to you that they can comb through and kind of see if you match up. So they're doing a lot of the legwork on your behalf and helping you weed out like good opportunities versus maybe not so good or bad opportunities.
I say, you know, it's an extra set of eyes, right? I mean, you're looking, you're doing your thing, but you have somebody who's fighting for you, right? You know, somebody who's, you know, you can give a list of requirements. Hey, this is what I'm looking for. If you can find something like that, that's my goal. So, you know, you have somebody in your corner who's fighting for you as well.
The other nice thing too, in my experience, was that the recruiter who placed me in fintech, you know, he had a working relationship with the company already. They had placed a couple other people over the years. And so, you know, they don't know me from anybody, right? But because the recruiter has a relationship with that company and they've placed them and they've developed trust, then when the recruiter brings me in, it went, you know, hey, we talked to this guy, we pre-interviewed him, you know, we think he's a good fit. So it's, I don't know, that might be stating the obvious, but I feel like if I had just cold applied, you know, to a company as opposed to a recruiter that they trusted already because they found good talent for them and brings me in for an interview. You know, I feel like it just puts you on another plateau, you know?
Yeah, there could have been a history there, you know, and that helps you out. You know, anything to help you out in your pursuit, that's why not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, Andy. The reputation that the recruiter has with that company that they're working with, right? Like if they've brought them talent before, like there's no reason to not believe that they wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, right? I think it really helped me, you know, in my particular situation because of the relationship they had. Probably not the same everywhere, right? But yeah, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. I mean, I've never worked in an industry where I'm being reached out to on a constant basis. You know, my phone, my email, LinkedIn. Before I got into network engineering, I was always the one looking for a job. And now it's so weird to me still. It's just inbound. You're like, hey, you want to work over here and do this thing? Like, wow. I feel like the hot girl at the party, you know, it's kind of nice. It wasn't like that before IT. So it's a good.
Somebody loves me.
Yeah, they really like me.
That's great.
So we're in manufacturing, AJ.
Yeah, we're in manufacturing. You sounds like you got your CCMP route switch. And I think last year you, or maybe it was earlier this year, it all blends together now with this whole COVID thing, right? I really do remember that you got your CCMP security. So you're dual NP.
Yes.
So let's dive into that journey. How was the CCMP security? I've heard the score is just a monster.
It is definitely, you know, there's some marketing behind it. You know, it's all the Cisco products and the Cisco security portfolio, but there's the technical below that as well, right? So it reminded me a little bit of the Palo Alto, the PC NSE. But a lot bigger. It was way bigger. The Palo Alto cert was definitely, you know, it's, you know, some marketing, a tiny bit of technical, and that was it. It's a good cert, but the CCMP security, the score is definitely deep, goes over the portfolio. There's a lot of technical behind it. You know, it doesn't dive into everything fully either. Right. So it leaves the door open. Like, you know, the score talks about email security. So I decided to go as my smaller exam, as my concentration, I went to the email security side. It was something that I was doing at work as well. Right. We had ESAs. We went to CES. I had some experience with that. But there was stuff that I found on the exam for the CISA, S-E-S-A. It was like, what are we talking about? What is this? I mean, it dives deeper. And I had some experience on the product. And I'm like, I don't remember clicking on this or reading about this. So it's, you know, it keeps you on your toes. It was definitely an interesting exam. It was a good exam. I think I had an easier time with the score than the CISA. I thought I'd have a harder time with the score exam. when I was taking it, I don't know if maybe because it wasn't that deep into the portfolio and deep technically, I passed that one and it was a better score than I had at the CISA. The CISA was like one more wrong answer, I would not have passed. I mean, that was it. I was on the edge. So there was a couple questions. I'm like, man, I have no idea. And I'm looking at this thing every other day, you know? But I passed, you know, it was good. It was a good exam. Nice. But that, you know, a lot of what I've been doing in manufacturing and a lot of what the whole team was doing in manufacturing that, you know, the last couple of years has been security related. You know, we had a security team. They did a lot of policy and a lot of, you know, procedures. We were the hands and feet for the security team. So we did everything. We did ICE. We did Stealth Watch. We did dual implementing and architecting and designing everything. That was really us. So, yeah. That, you know, I've been doing security for a bit, and that's why I was interested in the score and the CCMP security.
Very cool. Very cool. So I think it's important to kind of talk about that marketing thing, that marketing aspect of these exams. And it's 100% true. It's there on the Encore. And you know, like you said, it's there in the score. And I think it's important to note that, like, as somebody that's up and coming, when you have to study all of these things, you're getting more exposure to the Cisco portfolio, and that only benefits Cisco, right? But I think that there's people that kind of take a couple of different approaches when they're putting together their enterprise environment. Either they go all in on one vendor, or they do best of breed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want the best firewall, and I don't care if it's Cisco or Palo Alto or whatever. I just want the best firewall, and then I want the best switches, and then I want the best routers, and it doesn't have to be all the same vendor. I just want the best of the best. And then there's people that go all in on a single vendor story. And I think there's benefits to doing both, yes. Right? Like, if you go all in on Cisco, then you get the full Cisco story, right? And that's where you tend to get, like, and not just Cisco, right? Like, if you go all in on Juniper, all in on whatever, if you go all in on a single vendor, you're going to get the bigger picture, more analytics typically, right? Like, that's usually the benefit that you're going to see, because they all connect to each other. They all talk to each other. There's probably some additional benefits of security. When you do best of breed, like, you got the best of the best, but they don't all talk to each other in some form or fashion, unless you're using, like, you know, some agnostic form of automation or something like that, like rolling your own kind of solution that you would get from the vendor. So taking these exams gets you that exposure. And then later on in your career, you're like, well, I need some email security. I remember reading about the Cisco email security appliance. I had no idea Cisco had an email security appliance personally, but that's where you're like, well, I got to start somewhere. I remember reading about this thing, so let me go check that out. So that's why that's there. And it's beneficial, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think everybody does it. I mean, it's just part of certifications.
Right. Exactly.
AJ, you just sparked something. So each ecosystem has their own, I guess, analytics engine or platform or whatever.
Sure.
And they don't talk to each other, right? Cisco has theirs, Juniper has theirs, Arista has theirs. There's no, like you said, you have to either go with third party, you know, open source, or like build your own. I mean, that's not ideal, right? Like, is it just because they're in competition with each other? Like, there can't be this might sound silly, but there can't be like this open standard platform that pulls all the competing vendors, because we don't care. Like, you and I sitting at the chair, you know, the company went with Cisco for some stuff, Juniper for some stuff, Arista for some stuff. But why do I have to suffer as the operator that I can't have, analytics that pulls it all into one dashboard? Like, that seems like I don't know. It's an inherent flaw to maybe the competitive model. Maybe that doesn't make sense, but you kind of sparked it as you were talking.
Right. I think it's just, you know, they want you to buy into it, right? Like, if DNA Center could control other vendors' devices, where would be the kind of drive to continue to just buy Cisco if they could, you know, because other switches might be a little bit cheaper than a 9K.
I think companies are getting better at third-party integrations a bit.
Right. Especially with APIs,
I think it helps, but they're not going to be fully open, right? I mean,
sure,
but they'll, sure. You know, there's some compatibility, and there's some, you know, a couple of things they do, but for the most part, there's that competitive nature behind it.
It is, right. Yeah, and I mean, I get the competition, but I'm also like, I'm thinking like, wow, if one of these big name vendors came out with a solution that really did, you know, vendor B says, you know what, I know vendor A is the enemy, but I'm going to build a platform and pull all their stuff in too. And maybe that'll push us over the top. You know, if you could go with vendor B and they're happy to let you see all of your vendor A appliances and analytics and data. I don't know. I'm just from a high level, if I was sitting up on a throne somewhere, I'd be like, you know what? these guys are, you know, they're because you're not going to buy less of one vendor. I don't know. I don't know how all that money stuff works, but it's probably another topic for another show. But
my solution to rule them all.
Well, yeah. If a vendor,
if somebody actually made a single pane of glass, but something that actually talked to everything.
Well, right. So as an example, right? Like I'm thinking Cisco Juniper, the number one, number two, right? Like if Cisco came out and said, you know what, we're going to pull all Junipers into because for multi-vendor sure. shops or vice sure. versa. I'm surprised they haven't because like, God, you know, automation, well, single pane of glass, like the, they could, I think, right? Like these are open.
It's a lot more effort on the vendor's part, right? Like you have people at Cisco that know Cisco. Now they're going to have to go and really learn Juniper, or they're going to have to partner and work on it together.
Yeah, I probably oversimplify, but like a router is a router, is a switch is a switch. Yeah, the CLI is going to be a little different, but like OSPF doesn't change from, you know, vendor to vendor. Sure. Like there are standard routing protocols that can talk to each other. I don't know why. Something like you can't have that for analytics, but maybe right. it's pie in the sky stuff. I mean, we can't just create a protocol that talks to everything and pull it in, but I guess that screws up the competition. So
somebody's got to create it. Come on, Andy, you can do it. Let's go.
I can barely write Python, man. I'm not the guy. I gotta find a guy. I'll pull in Eric Chu or something. He'll do it for us.
I got there a guy go. Online.
Yeah, we got a guy.
Just grab Eric.
Sorry for the tangent. It just, you got me thinking.
No, that's good. No, it's a good conversation. Good conversation. So, how long were you in manufacturing before you decided to go to Cisco? And what in the end cost you, you know, if you want to get into it, why did you decide to start looking around? Did opportunity come knocking at your door? Or did you go looking for opportunity?
I let's say a mix of both. You know, let's say that. Yeah, and during my time in manufacturing, you know, opportunity came knocking and it didn't work out right with Cisco in the beginning. And that's one of the things that I've, you know, said on the Discord, you know, and we've talked about, you know, the things happen at the right time. You know, if it's mm-hmm. not meant to be right now, it's going to, something will happen in the future. There'll be a better opportunity for you in the future. You know, don't let that completely get you down, right? Rejection sucks, but there's always something better. There's something mm-hmm. coming down the road for you. So don't squander that opportunity that you have now to learn and soak up as much as you can where you are. So, I mean, I learned out a lot of manufacturing. It was a great experience. But you know, opportunity came knocking and it was something I couldn't say no to, you know, it finally happened and the doors opened and I'm appreciated out of everybody. You know, I appreciate everybody I've worked with. I never have anything bad to say. That's one thing I always tell people is, you know, work hard. Don't burn bridges either. That's more advice that I have. It's like, mm-hmm. the tech world is small and, you know, I'm talking to people at Cisco now and they know people that I've, you know, that I've worked with in the past or, you know, somebody on my team now, I worked with back at the university. They were a network engineer there as well.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. You know, it's like they ping me and they're like, hey, you're joining my team. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So never burn bridges. I mean, we're going to run into each other at some point. Treat everybody with respect, you know, help everybody out. You know, we're all in this together.
You know, that's a great point. Like if when you had left the university, if you had burned that bridge and then you're applying to this job at Cisco, and that guy could have been like, oh man, no way. When he left here, like 10 years ago, he really screwed us over. He just said peace and walked out. Like
he was flipping.
We were hanging for months. Like,
he was flipping, you know, tables but and like flipping it's, people off. No,
that's yeah. very, it's very true. Like if you had taken a different route out of there, no pun intended, yep. like it could have ended up differently for you trying to get into Cisco this time around. So I agree with you 100%. Like as big as the world is, like for some reason, IT just feels that much smaller. And that has nothing to do with a small town. Like you're in Chicago, like you could have left there and be like, I ain't ever going to see him again. But here you are. Like
exactly. So, I mean, it's, and that's just the way I was raised too, is like, you know, treat people with respect, you know, mm-hmm. in the course of your career, you're going to run into a bunch of different type of people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to run into people that are very supportive about, you know, for you, you know, they're there to help you. They're there to push you along and help you out. But, you know, you're going to run into other people that are just negative all the time. And that's just the way the person is. They might be negative with you. They might be negative across the board. To me, you know, I've ran into both types of people throughout my career, and I don't say anything bad about anybody. It's like, hey, you know, thank you for teaching me. Thank you for, you know, showing me what you could. I'm here in the end of the day. I'm here to learn. I'm here to get better. Right. I'm not here to spend my time and waste my brain cells on people who are negative. There's better things that I could be doing with my time, you know? Right. So things that are negative, people that are negative, I just ignore it. It's like, that's always going to come towards you. Ignore it. Mm-hmm. You know, stick to the people who are there and are supportive of you.
Haters gonna hate, man. Haters gonna hate.
But there's so much good secret sauce in here. You said so many things that I wrote down a couple, like work hard. You know, my wife has a great saying, like, you can't teach hustle, right? It's intrinsic. If you have a lazy player out on the court or in the field, you can't coach it out of them. You can't motivate them. Like, so, you know, it's such a simple thing to me because I've always been a hard worker. My wife's a hard worker. You guys are like, how, just put in the effort, you know, wake up, grind. Right. It's easy. I would venture to say that, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I try to make up for it in blood, sweat, and tears, right? Like, I'm going to get in there and work hard, and I'll work harder than the other guy that's smarter than me if I have to. Like, you can control what you can, right? To be successful. And then will get you noticed. Like you said, work hard, get noticed. Like, yeah. I love that. Like, cause you know, the guy that's passionate or the girl that's like working really hard, they do stand out because you have schlubs that just want to hide or not do anything or learn the new thing. And then attitude too, like reputation, attitude. I mean, you're just work hard, get noticed, develop a reputation, have a good attitude. Like these are, some of them are soft skills, some of them are hard skills, but it's kind of like the secret to success almost. Like, and they're all, you don't need a 190 IQ, right? You don't need a triple CCIE. Nope. Like these are things I think anybody can do. Work hard, get noticed, develop a reputation, have a good attitude. Like, wow, it's, I don't know. You're blowing me away here.
I mean, that's the way, it brings me back all the way to when I was managing student workers. I was a student worker and then I was managing student workers and I would always tell them the same thing. And, you know, with student worker positions, you know, there's some people that came in and I was like, I'm just here for my $7 an hour and to get out of here. Right. You know, they don't care about, you know, the help desk. They don't even care about IT. Right. They're just there. You know, I'm done. I got to go to class. You know, so I mean, I still took the opportunity and talked to people. And it's like, do as much as you can, learn, work hard. I mean, even if this is not going to be your career, right? You're not going to be at the help desk forever. You want to go do something else. You're seeking a degree in accounting, and this is all we have right now. Just work. You know, just try to learn something. Do your best. You know, that's it. I mean, it really comes down to that. And doors open up, right? I mean, just be patient. You know, because some people, you know, oh man, I spent, you know, 2 hours working hard and nothing happened. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a 2 hour thing. It's a whole journey, right? It's days and weeks and years. Mm-hmm. Be patient. Things will happen.
You've mentioned patience a couple times too, and I think that's so key. You know, mm-hmm. we want what we want when we want it. And then, you know, like this might not have been the first time you interviewed at Cisco. I don't know, but I know that when you get that opportunity, like for me, when that happens for me, I'm like, oh my God, this is my one shot. If I don't get this, I'm going to blow it. And then it doesn't work out for some reason. And then it's like, wow, that was it. I'm just destined for, yep. You know, mediocrity because I couldn't get that thing I wanted. But like you said, you just got to be patient, put in the work, like anything, right? Like we were shopping for our house years ago and like we really wanted this one and it didn't work out and we were so upset. But then the next one was twice as good as the last one. We're like, oh,
there you go.
Like you can't see around that next corner. You know, you just got to have faith and kind of be patient. And if you put in the work, it will work out, right? But maybe not on our timeline. And patience is hard, right?
Exactly.
I think it takes discipline. Like, okay, like accepting a failure, accepting it didn't work out. Like it's a mental game, right? Some discipline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's probably even harder these days in the instant gratification world we live in, right? Like click a button, get instant happiness,
yeah,
you know? Like,
right.
Now, I got to wait a month for this next house to come on the market? Like,
sure. We've almost...
I'm a house now.
Yeah. I mean, I can go on a half a dozen different social media platforms and get a dopamine hit immediately. And now I got to wait, sure. You know, 6 months because this one interview didn't work out. Like, no way, dude. Like that's forever, you know, but like perspective, patience, like it's
sure.
Put in the work, have perspective there. You got some good stuff here. We have so many people come to us, I think, starting out like, what can I do? What should I do? You know, it's always like, well, CCNA is a good start, build a home lab. But these are just things that anybody can do. I think that's what everybody's looking for. Like, how do I do this? You know, because you don't know where to start and how hard it's going to be and it's expensive and blah, blah, blah. But there's just certain traits, I think, that are transferable in any industry. It's not just networking or IT. You know, everything you're talking about, these are like, be a good person, create value, have a good reputation. Like, it's simple, but I guess it's human. Like common knowledge isn't that common, they say, right? Like,
it's true. I mean, a lot of times we concentrate on the technical ability, right? You know, I've ran into people in my past. It's like, wow, this person knows everything. I mean, you can ask them any question. They know everything, but they have a terrible attitude. You know, they treat you like trash. And it's like, I don't want to work with this person. You know, it's horrible.
Right.
You know, so you want to be somebody that can get along, can teach somebody, you know, people look up to, and you have a personality, you know, that's the type of person you want to be. So you can go around and pursue every cert that's out there, right? But if you're still, you know, treat people like trash, I mean, people are not going to like you, you know, people are not going to want to work with you. That doesn't open up opportunities for you, you know? So, I mean, treat people well. It comes down to that. I mean, it's just being human. That's really what we're talking about today. It's just do some of these basic things that, you know, basic human skills, you know, be human, treat people good, treat people with respect, work hard. I mean, things will happen.
Right. Be a good human.
Have compassion. Have compassion. You know, there's people out there that, you know, are struggling. There's people out there that are learning. You know, they might not learn at the same pace you are learning. You know, have some compassion. Have some empathy. You know, all these words that I'm just saying are just, they have nothing to do with Cisco. They have nothing to do with Juniper, with F5, with whoever. Right. This is things that apply across the board.
Yeah.
Kind of soft skills, right? Like that. Exactly. But kind of, you know. And anybody can learn them, you know, anybody can learn them. Like you can, I think the episode is going to be David Alicia, a good human.
Ooh, I like that.
Be a good
like
human. We'll come up with something good better. Human, yeah. He's a good human.
No, it's true. I mean, that's if I can teach somebody one thing, it's just, you know, work hard, but essentially be a good human. You know, things will open up, you know, have patience. You know.
The inverse of being a good human.
Those are the
key
words.
Yeah. David Alicia, don't be an asshole.
There you go.
You could go either way with the title. I don't know. I'll probably get overruled on that one, but
I think we'll go with a good human. I like that one.
That's much better.
All right. Well, our guest today is David Alicia, Solutions Architect with Cisco in the Chicago area. David, where can people go to find more about you?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm on the interwebs. I am on the Twitters, Davey87, D-A-Y-V-E-E, 87 on Twitter. I also have a blog, which I know I need to get back to. I need to start blogging again. I need to start writing. It's zeros and one, W-O-N. So play on words, zeros and one dot blog.
I love it.
It's a great title. I like that.
Excellent. And we can also find you in our Discord. It's all about the journey. The same as your Twiddle handle, I believe.
Yep. That is correct.
So if you want to join our Discord and chat with Davey, you can do so. You can go to artofneteng.com/IAATJ. I got to think about that all the time. It's all about the journey because it is all about the journey. You join, learn with people, share your knowledge, you know, and just a lot of that good human stuff David was talking about, right? Like if you find somebody that's struggling with a topic that you have had success with, spend the time, teach them, share your knowledge. Don't look down on them like, oh, you don't know every single OSPF timer. How dare you?
Don't be
a network engineer. Exactly. Exactly. Awesome. David, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You.
This has been an absolute pleasure. Any last words of wisdom before we close out here?
I think we've said every single type of motivational word that we can think of.
All good stuff, though. Yes. All good stuff. Excellent. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. Thank you to all of our Patreons. Once again, we appreciate all your support. We appreciate everybody's support. If you want to join our Patreon program, you can do so at patreon.com/artofneteng. And we appreciate the support from our Patreons as well as everybody, you know, whether you download, follow us on Twitter, whatever you do. We love it. We thank you so much. All that mojo really, really helps. We'll see you next week on another episode of the Art of Network Engineering podcast. Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of Net Eng. That's Art of N-E-T-E-N-G. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.